You're listening to episode 81 of the Mad Chatters podcast, April 13th, 2016.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney Universe. My name is Derek, and despite some internet issues and some health issues and some all kinds of issues, we are all here tonight, and I'm joined by my co-host Matthew.
Howdy.
And Jeremy.
I just want to go to sleep.
But you can't, because we've got a fun podcast to record. And I want to start by talking about some news items. And the first one is one that's very sad for me. And we haven't really talked about this on the show. And you know what it is. But now I want to talk about it. And I don't know if we've really mentioned this, but I'm going to be in Disney World next week, spending a little bit of time with Matt and some time with his family and some time alone with just me and Mickey and the world. And I've been so excited because they officially announced that Rivers of Light will be debuting April 22nd. And then, wah, wah, last week they announced, just kidding, we're not ready, we take it back.
They found out you were coming.
And that's what it is. So I won't be able to see it on my trip.
You might get like a sneak preview or something, a soft opening.
That would be nice. I wonder, have they ever done that with a nighttime show, you think?
Yeah, I think
they
test them.
Have.
Okay. Is it just like, hey, come this way, we're going to show something.
You know? They did that with World of Color for a good long while before they did the grand opening, like the first big night. So maybe they will be doing it.
Well, that would be great. Wow, my hopes just went from zero to like 50.
I am not making any promises.
No. It's okay. It's okay.
Keep your expectations low. Always keep them low.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But the thing
just
is,
just in life in general.
The thing is, like, I get that things happen. I guess some floats are giving you in trouble. I understand that, but it just stinks because they officially announced it and then took it back. And it was like, what if people had booked trips?
Yeah, and like, you've got 3 weeks. Can't you fix it before then?
I know.
Listen, they probably ordered the wrong part. And you know how that is when you got to go back to Home Depot and then they tell you it's out of stock and they got to ship it from China. And then Joe Rohde's got to inspect it to make sure it's been, you know, made out of yak hair, so it's authentic to the theming and all that. So it's a process.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Well, maybe they'll speed up the process. They have 1 week and a half to do it. Anyway, so that's not happening. But some things are happening. First of all, FastPass Plus has gotten some much needed changes. Now, I've been using this a lot on my phone, trying to get things ready. And one of the things that's frustrating to me is you pick maybe one thing you want to do, and then the next screen is like, great, here are the three fast passes you have. And two of them, I'm like, I don't want to go to that Frozen sing-along. Like, I don't care about that. But they make you book all three. Well, now one of the big changes is you don't have to do that. You can book one, you can book two, or you can book all three, and you can pick the individual ones you want to do. Great change. Another thing,
yes.
If you want a fourth one, you now no longer have to go to a kiosk in the park. You can do it right through your app.
Praise the Lord. Now look, I'm happy about this, but every time we hear an update that's improving FastPass Plus, I just think about how great the legacy FastPass was and think, yeah, this is great and all, but it all still sucks compared to legacy FastPass.
I thought the same thing. It doesn't matter how many improvements they make. Every one, I'm like, that's good, but it's not as good.
Hopefully this will cut down on one of my biggest complaints. And the reason why, like, Pirates always had, like, a 50-minute wait is because people felt they had to do three. If you get, you know, and, well, if we got to do it, we might as well, you know, kind of a thing. And
that's
so
what I was gonna say.
There's no need for certain things to be fast-passed. And no. By forcing people to, it just made the standby lines even longer. And so hopefully this will eliminate that.
I've had the hardest time trying to cancel some. Like there used to be the option that said, do you want to change or cancel fast passes? Yes, click it. It showed me the three I have. I couldn't do anything once I got to that screen. Like I couldn't click on any of the three or go to a next screen or anything. But now, as I've gone back with the new changes, you can. Like, you can click on individual ones and say, just cancel that. I don't need it. Change the time, whatever you need to do. So, some much-needed changes.
Some questions for you, Derek. Do you have plans to eat at certain places during this trip, or are you going to wing it?
I'm going to wing it mostly because this trip was booked so last minute. But Matt and I have talked about a few sit-downs we're going to try, such as Morimoto Asia in Disney Springs. I would love to try Skipper Canteen. Of course, those reservations are day of only. But yeah, the rest of the time, you know, some flower and garden booths, I'm sure, some quick service, so.
My second question is, will you be wearing your Mad Chatters t-shirts while you're in the parks? And if our listeners recognize you, will you have a special gift for them?
Wow, thank you for putting that pressure on me. I'm sure I'll be wearing a shirt one day. If by some miracle we have a listener who is in the park at the same time as us, and by a double miracle recognizes me, I will give a hug. Unless they don't like touch, in which case I will wave and say thank you.
Hey, great to have you. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
I only open mouth kiss on the lips.
Just do a high five. High five.
I might go take him over to a flower and garden booth and be like, pick whatever you want. You can have whatever you like. Yeah, one item.
Well, good. So, listeners, look for the guy who is it they say you look like?
I have no idea.
Just recently, you tweeted that you looked like somebody.
Oh, said, stop. Just because what I was wearing, Sheldon Cooper.
Look for the guy who looks like Sheldon Cooper.
No.
It was just because what I was wearing. Okay, one more piece of news before we get started. And this is about another extra charge coming guests' way. If it's optional. But a few weeks ago, we talked about the After Hours event. $150, you get to stay 3 hours longer than everyone else. $150 on top of your ticket. Well, now you can get in earlier than everyone else if you'd like. So if on days when the park opens at 9, select days, Magic Kingdom is offering a ticket called Early Morning Magic. For $69, a very, very limited number of guests will get into the park beginning at 7:45. And it says it lasts from 7:45 to 10, but I'm kind of confused because the park opens to regular guests at 9. So in my estimation, it's really just from 7:45 to 9. But it's 16.
They said that you can get your breakfast until 10.
Right. Which another thing. Okay, so the breakfast is a big buffet spread at Pinocchio Village House with, you know, pastries and eggs and sausage, whatever. That's from 8:30 to 10. Do not be an idiot and go get your breakfast at 8:30 if you still have 30 minutes before everyone else is let in. Like, take advantage of the few attractions that are open.
I'd wait like till 9:45 when the crowds are starting to get back there.
Exactly.
So hold on. What time do you get in for this? What does this start?
You get in at 7:45.
So you pay how much?
$69. And a limited number of attractions are open, mostly just Fantasyland, it looks like.
So you're paying roughly what you would pay for the Halloween party or the Christmas party for an hour and then 15 minutes?
Yeah, and it doesn't sound
and
like...
And a breakfast.
Well, and a breakfast, that is true. But it doesn't sound like there are any special characters, there are no special shows or parades...
This is just Disney getting so audacious. Like, this is just brazen. Who's going to pay $70 for an hour and 50 minutes? I don't care what kind of breakfast they're serving. There is no way that is worth the price.
And it says, quote, very limited number. But if a limited number of attractions are open, then isn't it just going to even out? Like, couldn't the Peter Pan line still be 30 minutes? And then it's like, well, there goes half my time.
I don't care if it's 30 people. For an hour, you're going to pay $70? No.
I know. It's insulting.
They might have expanded it. When I read about this earlier this week, I only read three attractions. Now, they might have a lot more open, but the big draws are Small World, Peter Pan's Flight, and Winnie the Pooh. Oh, and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train,
yeah. It said limited number of attractions, such as, and it listed those.
Okay.
But still...
They have some kahunas these days, I tell you. And anybody who is... If you were at the Magic Kingdom for Rope Drop and you see people walking in with these tickets, just smack them on the face right
just
before they go.
Close line.
Because they are ruining it for everybody.
It's not going to stop either. It's not going to stop as long as people do this stuff and buy these things. I mean, if I was a businessman, I'd say, hey, let's keep pushing this junk. If we can make an extra buck, I mean, that's what they're supposed to do.
But when does the House of Cards fall? It's got to fall soon. It's got to backfire in their face.
Only when people stop buying it.
Yeah, but it's going to come crashing soon. I just feel like it's going to – it's just all – you know, it reminds me back when – remember when they were doing those Pirates and Princess parties pretty much like every night of the week? And so they were closing the Magic Kingdom at like 7 p.m. consistently. And people finally were like, no, we're not paying extra for that. It's ridiculous. And they finally
morphed into all the other parties. It's the same thing.
Listen, if things like this keep me from having to pay resort fees, like, let people pay it. Let people go at 7:45. That's fine. And I won't pay resort fees now.
But you know what's next is hourly rates in the park. Ooh. Like, oh, it's $25 an hour at the Magic Kingdom. So how much time do you want to spend? Do you want to spend 4 hours? Oh, that's $100. You want to spend 8 hours? That's $200.
Like, you have to clock out when you leave?
Yeah, like, maybe you swipe your credit card, and then you go in, and on the way out, it says, oh, you were here for such and such time, and that's just charge your card.
Yikes.
Buy more hours.
yeah. The first thing I thought of was, I know us, and we're like, we're going to get there at Rope Drop. And then we arrive like an hour and a half later. If I pay $69 and I arrive even 15 minutes late, I'm going to be like, this sucks. I just wasted
so
much money.
That's 20% of your time you just
exactly.
lost.
Exactly.
And they better have those buses. I mean... That might come back and bite them if they don't have those buses running like clockwork, getting mm-hmm. people there quickly.
Yeah.
I know it's up to them to get up and get ready and get there, but I mean, if they get to the bus stop and it still takes them an inordinate amount of time to be picked up and then get to the park and then try to get in, yeah, you lose 15 minutes of that, you're already done.
Yeah.
I have always defended Disney as far as recognizing that it is first and foremost a business. I've always been that. And I've also always been the first to say that Disney is a luxury brand and that it is not something that everyone can afford, and that's okay. Or it's a once in a lifetime kind of a thing, and that's okay for some people. But I cannot justify or defend this at all. This is just getting greedy to charge people $70 for 75 minutes. That's almost a dollar a minute.
Oh my gosh,
you're right. You think about this. Yeah, you think about that. Also, 10 of those dollars, you're paying $10 to walk down Main Street USA.
Yeah.
That's 10 minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's easily 10 minutes to walk down Main Street USA, and there's nothing there. I mean, we love Main Street USA, don't get me wrong. But that's more of a absorb. I have time to enjoy. You know, if you got an hour and 15 minutes, you'll be booking it to Fantasyland. So, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. At least $5 is already down the drain just walking down the street.
It's so true. This starts on April 26th. I'm very interested to hear reviews because, you know, bloggers are going to pay it just to be able to review it.
Is this something you can do without a day ticket?
Oh, surely not.
Oh, maybe. I don't know, you know. But you figure you're a one-day guest. You've already spent now, what, $170, $180 to get into the Magic Kingdom? Goodness.
I mean, I know it's on top of a day ticket. It is going to be kind of hard to, if they don't buy a ticket, to be like, oh, your time's up, get out. You know, like, how do you tell them apart from everyone else? Anyway, that's a different story. But Disney is rolling in the dough. I'm just, if people do this, I am kind of curious how well this is selling. But
the thing you got to always keep in mind for this thing is now look, My Magic Plus and all that stuff, I'm still not a huge fan of, but I know it's growing and changing and it's going to take a long time to get to a really, really good place if it ever gets there. But, you know, we always want things we want new rides and new attractions, and we want new this. We want Disney World to stay nice. And that stuff really does cost money. And especially nowadays, when people are no longer satisfied with just a new attraction or a new ride, we've got to have all-out expansions and whole new lands and details. And, you know, that stuff's going to start adding up. So we are paying for it on the other end.
Yeah. I mean, at least for now, it's optional. Hopefully it stays that way. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, let's get to it and let's do a round of the Disney Fix.
The Disney Fix.
Now, this is basically the segment where we say, I've been meaning to talk to you guys about blank. And anything that we haven't really had time to talk about on the show, we bring up now. So, Matt, did you have anything you wanted to share with us?
Yeah. I've made mention of these a few times on the past shows. And when I'd first been getting them in the mail after ordering them, I was just kind of randomly putting them up on screen to show everyone. But I've invested in these... Are these porcelain, I imagine?
Maybe, yeah. Ceramic?
They're glass ceramic figurines. And there are 7, I think, correct? And they're just themed to different attractions. So my two favorite are these two here. And they're about maybe 5-6 inches tall. My favorite are these two. This is Big Al. You can't see this in podcast land. But
it's like show and tell. This one's name is Big Al, and he's a bear, and his favorite color is red.
Yeah, and this is the crocodile from Peter Pan's Flight. Now, what I like about them is on the bottom, you have the personalized... Again, I'm showing these to Derek and Jeremy, so go online and look them up. You have the personalized thing where they're from, so Country Bear Jamboree. That one says Peter Pan's Flight, and the other ones have it in their own little font. And they're just nice. They're solid color, like if you could imagine Big Al... carved out of clay and then just glazed with a red color. That's what it looks like. Just kind of shiny. I didn't like these for a long time. I think Derek's actually the one that made me like them when he said, hey, I like those. And I said, you know what? Those are nice. So I went ahead and got them all.
I'm very persuasive. These might be my favorite things Disney has ever sold. Just keep going with them. Just keep making them.
Yeah. I have Figment. I have the Figment one, the Sleeping Beauty Castle, Monstro, and the Hippopotamus from Small World, in addition to these two. And I think they're genius. They're latching on to just iconic things from attractions and making them little collectible figurines. And they're tasteful. You know, they are colorful, but they're one solid color, so mm-hmm. They're very tasteful.
Do you not have the Jungle Cruise elephant?
Oh, yes. He's up there sitting next to my potted plant.
Yeah, that was the one that got them all started. When I first saw that, I was like, I have to have that, and now I have to have all 7. But anyway. Well, what I said the other day is they need Sunny Eclipse now, because I feel like they're doing original characters, you know? Mm-hmm. They need them.
Well, these sit in my office, and it has become a thing now for people when they come into my office to rub Big Al on the head. That's the thing. So he's our luck charm here in the Family Life Center.
He's not leaking, is he?
No, Big Al does not leak. That's only Henry or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go next. Have either of you seen Zootopia yet?
Partially.
How?
Partially.
Did you take Anna?
We took Anna, and she enjoyed it for a good hour and like 10 minutes, and then we had to leave. She was losing her mind.
I see.
Just wanting to run around.
Well, for those who have seen it, and for those who enjoyed it, and for those who want more, I discovered a documentary entirely on YouTube called Imagining Zootopia. It's 45 minutes, and it goes behind the scenes with the directors, the animators, the producers, and it was very, very fascinating, and of course, totally free, which is nice. But I was just going to share like a few things that I thought were interesting, but there's plenty more to see if you want to go online and check that out. But one of the things I thought was interesting was they were talking about so many screenings they do with just very, very rough sketches just to see if the story is making sense and how people are responding. I mean, just within the building, the Walt Disney Animation Studios. But for like 7 or 8 of the screenings, Nick, the fox was going to be the main character, and they were going to show it from his point of view, and he was going to go into a place and they were going to like discriminate against him because he's a quote sly fox, you know. And they realized after 8 or 9 screenings that if they started with that, then already the audience would know that this isn't the utopia it claims to be. Because the way the movie is now, it's a perfect community where predators and prey can be together. But then like halfway through, you start to realize, okay, there's still a little bias here, you know? And so they were saying, yep, if we told it from Nick's point of view, you would instantly know. I thought that was very clever. They also talked about how they brought it before the Pixar people, and the Pixar people changed a huge element of the story that they were working on because they had some ideas. And I'm like, that's cool that Disney Animation and Pixar Animation collaborates in that way. Anyway, there were lots of other gems. They kind of showed how the animation process works, because that's still kind of confusing to me since it's all computers now. But very fascinating. It's only 45 minutes. You know, pop it on your Apple TV while you're cooking or something. I definitely recommend Imagining Zootopia.
You had me at documentary. Mine Disney fix is something I think I've mentioned to you two off air, but I don't have much free time these days, and especially to read. But I started reading this book, and I think I haven't read any more than the first chapter from the first night I started it, but I enjoyed the first chapter, so I'm going to recommend it to you all. And that is, it's not a Disney book, but it's based on Alice in Wonderland. And as I've mentioned on the show before, I have a unique obsession with Wonderland. It's called The Looking Glass Wars, and it's by Frank Better, and it's a trilogy, and basically it's young adult fiction, so it's a very easy read. But it deals with the introduction is Alice is upset because Lewis Carroll has written this book about her stories and has changed it into a fantasy, and instead it's actually really a gritty world, and where there's actually a big nasty war going on, and it's a little more hardcore than just in the garden kind of a thing. So she's telling her side of the story, the true side of Wonderland. So if you're a Wonderland fan like I am, I recommend it.
Did Tim Burton write these?
No, it's Frank Better. But good joke.
I mean, it just sounds like he always tries to take something quirky and kid-friendly and turn it into like a even quirkier, no, weird thing.
These are not new either. They've been out for quite a few years now. In fact, I first saw it mentioned on The View some years ago when Whoopi Goldberg went to the New York Comic Con and the author was there, and she commented how she read the trilogy and really enjoyed it. And of course I immediately was like, Wonderland, what? Yes. And so I ordered the book, and then I just never read it until recently. I picked it up, and like I said, unfortunately I don't have as much time to read as I'd like, but the few pages I've read thus far have intrigued me.
Cool. You said good joke. What a jerk. This is a new game you might have heard us play 5 or 6 episodes ago, probably, but we're going to try it again. It's called Where in the World Am I? And we're each going to pick a place in Walt Disney World, and the other two people have 10 yes or no questions each to try to figure out where we are. So, Jeremy, do you want to go first? And then Matt and I can ask you our 10 questions. I will ask first. And my question is, are you in a park?
No.
Are you in a resort?
No.
Are you outside of a park in a resort? I'm just kidding. That's not my question. Are you in Disney Springs?
No.
Oh, thank goodness. Because I don't know anything that's over there right now.
So you're on property. You're just not in a park or resort or Disney Springs. Are you on a form of transportation?
No.
I was... Are you in a water park?
No.
Matt, I should not have listened to you.
How many times have I heard that? I'm just going to group all this together. Are you in another form of recreational activity at Walt Disney World?
No.
This could include Disney Quest.
No.
Okay.
Are you on the boardwalk?
No.
That would be a resort.
Nuh-uh. Flying Fish, ESPN Zone.
That's a resort.
No.
Boardwalk is a resort.
I meant on the actual boardwalk.
At the boardwalk resort.
I'm gonna punch you.
Can't until next week.
Okay, I'll save it.
Are you in a parking lot?
No.
After last time we did this, I said I was so proud that we picked hard ones, but not too hard. I'm afraid this is too hard. Are you keeping tally, by the way, of how many questions we've asked?
I am. We are at four each.
Okay, great. Are you on a body of water?
On a body of water? No.
Wait.
Yeah. So you're near a body of water?
Yes.
I mean, okay. There's only like two big bodies of water that aren't in parks.
Are you on an island?
No.
Are you on the shores of Seven Seas Lagoon?
Depends on what you mean by shores, but yes.
You're at a locale around Seven Seas Lagoon.
Yes.
Okay. It's not a resort and not a park.
Are you on a paved path?
Yes.
I want to take my guess.
Go
Are
for
you
it.
On the ridiculous, ridiculous path that leads to nowhere that we thought Ghost
Walk
Grand
around
Floridian?
The world.
Yes.
Woo, good one.
Yay. Ding 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 ding.
Good one.
Very okay. good. Dude, I don't. Have we ever told that story on this podcast?
Yeah, we have. I think when David was on, we talked about it.
Oh yeah.
When he got so mad, he had to take off his shoe and throw it in the air.
Yes.
But long story short, there is a path that, when you're on the monorail, appears to lead all the way from Magic Kingdom to Grand Floridian. We discovered halfway to Grand Floridian that it just
Spoiler.
Stops. It just stops. Do not take that path. If you want to go to Grand Floridian, yep. Take that path if you just want to walk, which you can do in the park, so I don't know why you would do that, but anyway. I will go yep. next. So, who wants to ask first?
Are you in a park?
Yes.
Are you in Epcot?
No.
Are you in Animal Kingdom?
No.
Are you in Magic Kingdom?
Yes.
Are you on an attraction?
No.
Are you in a restaurant?
Yes.
That really narrows it down.
Yes, it does. Are you in Adventureland?
No.
Are you in a table service?
Yes.
Are you on Main Street USA?
No.
Are you in Be Our Guest restaurant?
No.
Is that a guess?
No, because I was thinking specifically a room inside there.
Oh, okay. That's a little ambiguous.
You can have more than two guesses. The two guesses are limited to guesses you get after you've already asked a question. So, like, if I had said, yes, okay. I'm in Be Our Guest, he would have said, okay, I want to take one of my guesses. Are you in the West Wing or whatever? Does that make
or
sense?
Or I could have said...
How would we know that your location wasn't just Be Our Guest restaurant?
Then I would say, wow, you didn't even guess, but that was correct. It's Be Our Guest. I don't know. We're okay. figuring it out as we go. It makes sense to me.
Are you in the Liberty Tree Tavern?
Yes.
I will... I will take my guess, a guess.
Okay.
I mean, are you like sitting down at a table in Liberty Tree Tavern?
No.
What are you doing there? Okay, all right.
Are you in the bathroom?
Yes.
I want to take my guess. You're in that very tiny bathroom upstairs at Liberty Tree Tavern.
Yes. To where there's technically room for two people, but if someone walked in and you're at the sink, they'd have to be like, I'll just wait. I kind of want to crawl awkwardly between you, your back and the wall, because it's like a foot. Yeah.
That's something. Maybe they changed that. They changed the bathrooms when they remodeled.
No,
they wanted to keep it authentic, because that's how George Washington peed.
Exactly. Yeah. In that commode with working water.
Yep.
All right, Matt.
You just say up front that mine is just a location, okay? It's not like in the back seat of the left side of something, so it's...
Okay, the bathroom is not that specific. Like, let's calm down.
I'm trying to be a little more friendly.
Mm.
Are you in a park?
No.
Are you in a resort?
Yes.
Are you in a deluxe resort?
No.
Are you in a moderate resort?
Yes.
Are you in a resort lobby?
No.
Does the first word of your resort start with a C?
No.
Are you in a room?
No.
Are you in a eating location, like a food court type place?
Yes.
Are there really gaudy decorations around you?
No. I mean, it depends on your definition of the word gaudy, but I know what you're talking about, and it's not.
Are you near a big water mill thing?
I am.
I want to take a guess. I don't know the name of it. But the
you can
Port
just kind of
Orleans
put the object in front of food court.
Okay. Oh, are you at the Port Orleans Riverside food court called the River Mill Food Court?
That's it. Yeah, that's where I am.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's my favorite. It's there.
Is it really called the River Mill Food Court?
Yeah.
River Mill something, probably not food court. Well, no, I guess the value resorts call them food courts. I don't know.
Yeah, but those are peasants.
Yeah.
No offense to anyone who stays at value.
I mean, listen, I'm going to be at All Star Sports. I was like, are you kidding me?
That's the peasant of the peasant.
Well, that's what you get when you book 3 weeks out. So, anyway. Well, good game. We all guessed it again. We are undefeated.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the Riverside Mill Food Court. Close.
Okay.
We'll allow it.
Specifically, I'm in the spaghetti line.
This week we are continuing our series we are calling Do This, Not That. We've talked about Magic Kingdom and we've talked about Animal Kingdom and we've gone through the areas and talked about if you are a first timer, these are things we definitely recommend doing. But if you're short on time, these are the things we say you can skip and still have a wonderful vacation. Well, this week our series takes us to Epcot. So we're going to talk about the Do This's and Not That's of Epcot. And what we've done, since Epcot is so large, we split it into kind of our own little sections. We're going to talk about Future World West, Future World East, and then we split World Showcase into three different sections. And then at the end, we'll come back around and do one thing from Future World and one thing from World Showcase that we might have failed to mention, because there is just so much. So let's start with Future World West. And if you are not looking at a map and you don't know your directions, this is when you walk to the right as you first come in to Future World. So you're going to see the Seas with Nemo and friends, the Land Pavilion, the Imagination Pavilion, etc. So who wants to go first with their do this of Future World West?
Me. I will. No.
Go ahead.
I'll demur to Jeremy.
I want to do the obvious one, and that is Living with the Land. We have talked about this attraction numerous times on this podcast. It's one of our favorites. It's not for everybody, but if you listen to this podcast, you're probably more than just the average Disney fan. Simply by listening to it, you already are. And so you can appreciate its charm and its goodness.
Mm, yeah, that's a good one.
That's a great one. And when you're done, go on YouTube and listen to the song that they removed from the attraction, Listen to the Land.
Don't just go online. You can just whip out your phone there at the end and just turn it up so everybody in your
yeah.
That's a great idea. I'm totally doing that next week.
That is a good idea. Let's just do that.
Okay.
And then we can do it on Universe of Energy, too, with the old songs. I'm going to stay in the land. I would have just said the land as a whole, but since we're going to, you know, each have to pick one here, I'm going to say another obvious one, and that is Soarin'. And Soarin' is a very popular attraction. So, but I don't think it's one that you can skip and really enjoy Future World to its fullest. So make sure you get a fast pass for it. The fast passes go pretty quickly, so you have to get them. I mean, you're not going to get one the day of, is what I'm saying. You might be able to snag one the day before, but even then, you're going to have a very, very limited times that you can do it. Because Epcot's one of those that does the tiered fast passes, and typically Soarin' is the one on that top tier. You get to pick one. That's the one people are going to choose. So it goes quickly. So get there, get your fast passes, or just get there at park opening and rush over to Soarin' with everyone else. Even though everybody's heading that direction, if you're there, park opening, you'll still get to do it. And then go on into Living with the Land and do that too. But you can't miss Soarin', no matter what Derek says.
No, I agree. You have to ride Soarin'. My not that would be the queue of Soarin'. No matter yeah. what it takes, somehow skip that queue. But Soarin' will definitely be a don't miss starting this summer when Soarin' Around the World takes over. And that's just a few months away. It's kind of crazy that's already here. But
yep.
Okay, well, since you took the obvious ones, I guess, I'll pick Character Spot. Now, this seems strange because you're just meeting characters. And it used to be mostly just the Fab Five or select members of the Fab Five. But nowadays, they're bringing in characters that you really can't meet anywhere else in Disney World. Like, currently, they have Baymax from Big Hero 6. And Joy and Sadness just debuted from Inside Out. So I would say those are characters you probably want to meet, because I feel like these are characters that 3 years from now will be those rare characters that you never see anymore. So I think that's going to be one of those locations that they're constantly rotating in new characters. So it's worth checking out, especially if you have young kids or if you are like us and you like, I guess I like, quote, collecting character meet and greets, you know, just to say I did it. But
which is another thing that you have turned to from our first trip, because I was all about the characters those first couple of trips. And now I'm glad to see you are.
Do you remember when, I think it was near the end of our first trip, and we were talking about some of the things we've just really enjoyed, and someone said, what's your favorite thing? And you said, the characters. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm pretty sure Matt's response was, of all the things at Walt Disney World, your favorite thing. But that's
okay. I
felt
like I'd failed you as your Walt Disney World guide.
I'm sorry, I just care about joy and happiness and emotional connections with characters that you have long nostalgic ties to.
It's joy and sadness.
I can't help it that I'm human.
Yeah, well, I kind of understand now. So,
thank you.
Yep. All right, Matt, what about your not that?
It's hard to do not that's over here, because if we're limiting them to, you know, you're pressed for time, the must-dos, I guess if we call it must-dos and can-skips, you know, that this does apply. Because you're not going to have a wait for these other things. You can squeeze them in with very little time. But I'll go ahead and say Under the Seas with Nemo. And, no, Is it Under the Seas with Nemo and Friends?
The Seas with Nemo and Friends.
Just The Seas with Nemo and Friends. Yeah, used in the location of the living seas. The Seas with Nemo and Friends. It's a fun little attraction. Not the best. A great queue, a great finale, and fun little... I mean, what if you like aquariums, you know, the end, the Seabase Alpha is wonderful. You know, all the dolphins, manatees, and... I mean, it's like a real-life aquarium all around you, and they have all kinds of fun little exhibits and things, but, you know, it's not something you that's going to make or break your Epcot day if you miss it.
I can see that, but, I mean, I feel like little kids will really enjoy seeing the Nemo characters and the fish.
Oh, they will. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to say don't do it, but if we're in the zone of saying... you've got to do this, you can skip this, I think that's easily a you can skip this.
Okay. I love that the queue takes longer than the actual attraction to get through.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's like, who built this?
My don't do is the Coral Reef restaurant. I did not enjoy this restaurant the time we went. I thought the food was bland and bad, and we had a terrible waiter.
Terrible.
So I did not rival enjoy...
Cheryl.
I did not enjoy the experience at all, and so I would not say it's worth the price or the effort to do so. The only reason to go down here would be is if you are a huge Full House fan and you want to see all the locations from when they went to Walt Disney World, but other than that, it's totally skippable. The only way that I could consider going back is if they renamed this from the Coral Reef to the Coral Reefers and made it a Jimmy Buffett themed restaurant, and yes, then I might consider going back.
Yeah, I'd go up in there. Get the cheeseburger in paradise.
That fits the future world theme so well.
Listen, cheeseburgers and margaritas, that's all they would serve in there.
That's no, the I totally agree with this answer. And the fact the Full House thing was what I thought of, because that was the reason I wanted to go to Coral Reef, partly because it was like, oh, I've heard of that. That's where they went, Full House. And talk about a disappointment.
You didn't know that you were going to be forced to order a soda at gunpoint.
I know, seriously. Yeah, he was not good. And we're not the only ones I've heard say that either, about the service and the food. So just a disappointment just overall.
Highly disappointing, yes.
Yeah. Okay, for my answer, it's something I haven't done, but having gone this many times and not having done it, I'm totally okay. So I can say that you can skip the Circle of Life, an environmental fable, which I think is under refurbishment right now.
Oh, is it? If it's not, you need to watch it.
Oh.
As a Disney podcaster, take 10 minutes out of your day at Epcot and watch Timon and Pumbaa and learn about conservation.
I saw it when it opened, like, literally 20 years ago, and that was enough.
Is it really only 10 minutes?
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes. Okay. It's a nice air-conditioned, comfy chairs.
I could do that.
What a waste of space.
It's carpeted walls in the queue. You know, oh, it's nice.
That listen, honestly, that might be the only draw for me.
The carpeted walls?
Wall carpet. I mean, that's classic Epcot.
Okay, if it is not under refurbishment anymore, I will watch it.
All right.
If you see a strange gentleman in the queue rubbing on the walls with his eyes closed and singing the theme song to Horizons, you'll know it's me.
Oh, actually, I feel like that could apply to a lot of the people I follow on Twitter, but
yeah.
Anyway. Okay, let's move on. I can start this one. Let's move on to the other side of Future World, Future World East. And this is, you know, Elm's Energy Adventure, Wonders of Life, Mission Space, Test Track, etc.
This is an easy one. Just don't do that side.
Aw.
I'm just picking.
I do not agree with that answer.
We'll talk about the good things.
Okay, go I'm going to start with my favorite thing in all of Future World. And that's, maybe not, I think. Test Track, especially now that it is the refurbished. You know, this refurbishment gets some hate on the online community. I think it's wonderful. I have a really good time doing it. I love the like black light feel of it all, and it's just a fun it's just a fun attraction. And I think it's still the fastest attraction in all of Walt Disney World, right? The
I
last
believe
part,
so.
Yeah,
65 miles per hour, I believe. Yeah, I think the refurb improved the ride 1,000,000% because it first off it made it feel futuristic, which the ride before was totally lacking. It got rid of that.
If people don't get it, then they won't like it. And to be honest, they probably could do a better job of making you get it, because this is like, you know, it's less the industrial factory side of the testing, and it's as if you stepped into the the grid, for lack of a better term, the digital side of testing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're in the computer testing the car. That's the whole idea, digitized.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, it was Inside the Magic that released that the Tron soundtrack to match up with the ride. That's genius. So if you really want to do something fun, cue that up as you are about to take off.
Which is funny, because the soundtrack by itself, the actual soundtrack you hear in the ride, I think is so much better than what used to be there. It was that. Like, horrible. Yeah. But now it's like, now it's like futuristic and get your heart pumping. Sleek, there you go, yeah.
That's a good word for that, sleek.
Ooh. The whole attraction is that, now. It's less clunky. The whole thing is less clunky.
Yes.
Very true.
And less of those ugly crash test dummies, you know, they used to have those scattered all over. And those things are creepy. I don't like them.
The only thing I'll complain about is the logo for Test Track. They split the T down the middle. So it's like, oh, look, it's two T's. But really, it's not. It just looks like Test Rack. Go look at it, and you'll know what I'm saying. Like, the T is really big, and it's split down the middle, but it's still just one T.
Is that what they call, like, just the woman torso mannequins at the mall?
That's the test rack. Something like that.
Waka waka. Okay, my do this.
The smoking section.
My do this is, and I think I'm going to have to make an argument for this, because there's a big reason why this might be a don't do it. But it is going to be Ellen's Energy Adventure. And it is old. It's very dated. I mean, it's either 20 or 19 years old this year. I mean, it's from the Ellen Show days. And Ellen looks like Ellen from the Ellen Show days. And it's built, it's the Bill Nye you remember when you were, 10 years old, if you're our age.
This is before she was even out as a lesbian.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it really was. Although all signs point to go on that in this attraction. But it's just one of those attractions that people go into thinking this is going to be boring. And most people think it is boring. This is going to be a boring thing. And then you think it's just going to be a movie. But I think the payoff is when the whole theater, spoiler alert, the whole theater turns. I mean, literally, all the theater, if you can imagine like a big auditorium just turning. And then the curtain opens and big life-size, relatively speaking, dinosaur animatronics, and it's nighttime in there. And then the whole theater starts to move forward, and you actually travel through this large 3D dinosaur diorama, for lack of a better term, for the whole thing. So it is surrounded on either side by a movie, but I think the movie is quite enjoyable and entertaining with Ellen and Bill Nye and
Jamie Lee Curtis,
that's the one. I want to say Tim Allen because I wish he was in it, but
and Alex Trebek. Jamie Lee
Curtis and Alex Trebek. They're all just, it's just a fun little,
and Albert the racist Einstein. Guy from the racist guy from Seinfeld.
Michael
Richards. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah,
so it's plays like a fun caveman. Now, one of the things that I said would probably detract from it being a do this is that it is 45 to 50 minutes long. It's a long attraction, but I mean, if you've got a whole day at Epcot, you got a whole morning, you've done the other do thises in Future World, and you got some time on your hand, it's a great little break. And it's not just a boring like snooze break. It's a fun little attraction to go into, and very impressive.
I mean, it's the same amount of time as Finding Nemo the musical, and at least it has backs to the seats. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Listen, a few weeks ago we talked about attractions that have to grow on you. This wasn't one of them for me. Like, I really did enjoy this the very first time we wrote it. I still like it.
Especially, it has that quintessential Ellen humor in it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you find her funny, like I think she's hilarious, just that dry, quick witty. This attraction is your jam.
A ding dang.
It is very quotable. Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
I say that all the time at home. The ding dang, the ding dang, the piggy bank.
Bill, Bill.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, my do this is to leave this part of Future World because there's nothing good left and go ride Spaceship Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to wonder when we got to Spaceship Earth. It's not really on either side, but there you go.
Well, my original answer was Ellen's Energy Adventure, but it's been taken. So I'm going to say you can just go right up front, ride Spaceship Earth, a wonderful attraction through the history of human communication and beautiful audio animatronics. The fabulous Judy Dench, and yeah.
Don't forget the Phoenicians.
And the Phoenicians.
Hey, this is in the big ball, by the way, if you don't know where this is.
The one that Mickey Mouse is not standing on.
Correct. He never is up there.
Talk about a disappointment. I would say if you do nothing else in all of Future World, do Spaceship Earth.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's get to the not that. So things you can skip. And I'm judging by your answers, there are more of these than there are do thises. Okay, I'm going to get to one we talked about before on the show when we did the quick service restaurants, but it's Electric Umbrella. Jeremy, say the line.
If you're eating at Electric Umbrella, you're doing Epcot wrong.
It's true. And we're going to get to that when we get to World Showcase. But there are a billion worthy restaurants to eat at. Don't go to Electric Umbrella. Don't do it. I mean, go get yourself a pastry at Starbucks to tide yourself over until World Showcase opens. You don't need to eat at Electric Umbrella.
Mm-mm. Okay, I'm going next and saying you got to skip Mission Space.
Yes.
A lot of people will want to ride it, especially first-timers. It does appear to have a thrill element to it. But you get a better thrill on Test Track, so go over there and don't waste your time in the queue at Mission Space. All it's going to do is make you want to vomit, and yeah.
And just for feel kind of
yeah. And then you know, unless you're a big Gary Sinise fan, which you know, if you're out there, okay. But then you got that long exit out.
Oh,
and that
gosh!
Terrible song belting out your ears.
I don't get your hate for that song.
Oh,
that whole exit gets on my. I've ranted about this before, and I'm going to do it again. It's like you're walking down like the back hall at some church during their space themed VBS, and they got their little stupid signs up, their fluorescent lights, and that song. Yes.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. The fluorescent. I think it's the fluorescent lights that like. You could make it a little more spacey, for lack of a better word. So, yeah, just skip Mission Space. I promise you're not missing anything. But like I said, some people seem to like it for whatever reason, but it's worth passing.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, we've ridden it a couple times, and I can't say I don't enjoy it, but I'm not like... I'm glad I've ridden that once. Like, I really would be okay if I had never ridden it.
I can't tell you the last time I rode it, but I will say this, too. If you are in the least bit claustrophobic, you will not do well on this ride. Because when that console comes forward and locks you in, you aren't moving. And it is a tight, tight space. And I'm not a claustrophobic person, per se. I do have a little bit of issues if I think about it. So, thankfully, every time I have ridden it, they immediately start the ride as soon as they close it. Because if I had to sit there for a few minutes and wait for them to do the seatbelt checks and the other cars or whatever, I would start to freak out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mission tight space.
Yeah. My not this is going to be a shopping location. And this was my original answer, believe it or not. And it is Mouse Gear. Mouse Gear is the Epcot equivalent of your Emporium, your whatever the one at Hollywood Studios is. It's the big Disney store that's on the right as you exit the park at night. And it is dated. It lacks
character. It's usually just feels grungy and dirty, and it's always so hot in there for some reason. I just feel like it's just the one that does not appeal to me. It feels like I'm in like a Disney outlet store at some prime outlet somewhere in Tennessee. Nothing wrong with Tennessee. It just came to mind. So that I don't like mouse gear.
I love mouse gear.
Oh, no, I agree with Matt. Now that you say that, I totally have a distaste for it because you're right. It lacks such theming, and even the things on the wall, like the big clock, it looks so old. And
I feel like the merchandise is just so crowded and it's all over the place. It's like, here, we got this in today. We just got this in from the flea market.
And they change
that up there on the wall.
They change it. They change the layout of the store so often as well. Like, you go in there, you're like, I'm going to buy a mug. And you go where the mugs were, you know, a month ago. And you're like, well, why aren't the mugs here anymore? Oh, they're on the other side of the store now. So then a month later, you go back in there and you're like, well, this isn't where the mugs were the last time. It just seems like it's, like you said, a Disney outlet store somewhere in the South that is just untaken care of.
Yeah.
We're really tearing the South a new one. I like mouse gear, and I like that they have old Epcot Center shirts. They always have a handful of those that they sell. But fine. I mean, to each his own, I guess.
I mean, I still go in there from time to time, but it doesn't mean I like it.
I don't. I pass by it with a judgmental look on my face. Like this.
That's a really good judgmental face. For the next section, I was just going to do like a catch-all for Future World, but it kind of sounds like you guys don't want to talk about Future World anymore. Did you have anything else, do this, not that, that you want to mention?
I have something.
Don't do interventions.
Yeah.
Don't do interventions, definitely. I mean, I do have something that I think you should do if you have the time.
Okay.
And that is, you need to watch the Fountain of Nations show.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable, especially if you're on the backside of the fountains going towards World Showcase, so you have Spaceship Earth in your view. And it's a very nice little, the music's very powerful and the fountains are going, and it's a nice little show. It's not long, so it's fun to just kind of stand there and soak that in. And then especially if you know what the Fountain of Nations are.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
If you're an Epcot fan, and are just a Disney World fan, you listen to our show and you're interested in extinct attractions and things like that, I would say that if you're there for Flower and Garden or Food and Wine, to go check out the exhibits and things, not for the exhibits themselves, but just so you can go inside of the Wonders of Life Pavilion, which is nothing has changed in there except that everything is, you know, gone, the old attractions and things, but none of the decor, color schemes, anything has changed. It's like stepping back into the 1980s immediately when you step in there. And you can still see all the remnants of the old attractions, the Making of Me and the Goofy Theater and the mural on the wall for Body Wars. And it's like everything's still there. The bones are still there.
It really is kind of creepy. I even had, they used to put the Visa card lounge was in there. Mm-hmm. And you had to really like walk way into the back. And it was so creepy, feeling like we're not supposed to be back here. Like, this is not where we're allowed to be. And that was cool, you know.
Look like up in the entrance and part of the queue of Body Wars. You can still, like, see in there. Be like, man, if I wanted to get banned from this park for life, I would just run through there and try to find. The simulator's got to still be there. Unused.
I was going to say, do you think the simulator's just sitting there with, like, a spider web in it?
I guarantee they are.
That sounds like a movie, doesn't it? Like, you go back there and you accidentally press the power button and it fires up. Like,
yeah.
You know how they do?
It's a large splinter.
That's awesome. Start writing that screenplay. And then maybe you get sucked into Body Wars. And yeah, I'll get on that tonight.
Cool. Yep. All right, let's move on to World Showcase. Now, I think there's going to be a lot more things to talk about, and a lot more things that sadly will have to be left off of our lists. Oh, I hate that word. But we're going to start as if you were heading to the left when you first walk in from Future World, and we're going to hit up Mexico, Norway, and China for this first section. So, Jeremy, you start us off this time.
Well, clearly I'm going with the obvious, and that is you have to do Grand Fiesta Tour. con los tres caballeros. And, you know, it's just a charming boat ride. We've talked about it thousands of times before. I know Matt preferred the older version, but even in its newer reiteration, it's still amazingly wonderful. So you have to do that. It's just fabulous.
Especially now that the animatronics are back.
Absolutely.
I said something that Matt's going to poo-poo on, but if you try nothing else, try the school bread at Kringla Bakery Og Cafe. It's just a little $3, $4 snack, something to tide you over between lunch and dinner.
I wouldn't poo-poo on that. Listen, okay. I'm just saying it's not my favorite thing, but it is a lot of people. So if you're going to go and try one snack, try the school bread.
You like the troll horn, right?
I'm a reasonable guy. No, and that reminds me, y'all completely butchered that thing. It's the lefse I like. The troll horn makes me sound like some kind of trailer park guy that just likes his cream horns from the Publix.
Yeah, we apologize. When Matt was gone, we said, yeah, I think it's a troll horn he likes, and I heard all about it the next day.
A troll horn,
Publix retraction.
So anyway, I would say you should try it. Everybody needs to at least say they've had it once, the school bread.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tack on to Jeremy's that the Mexico Pavilion as a whole is, you got to go into the pyramid itself and yeah, ride Grand Fiesta Tour, but that whole inside pavilion itself is nice with the night sky and the lights and the pyramid in the background. It's like you're in an outdoor marketplace at night all the time. It's very cool and enjoyable. That's not my answer, though. I'm tacking that onto Jeremy's. My answer is the joy of tea in the China Pavilion. It's there on the main promenade. You don't have to venture back into the China Pavilion. But there on the waterway is the joy of tea. It's a little booth, little pagoda-looking thing. And they sell all kinds of iced and hot teas and things. But they have several really delicious drinks. And one that was on the regular menu the last time is one that we have raved about before, at least Jeremy and I. And that is the peach oolong bubble tea. And it is delicious. And if you don't like peach-flavored things, which I typically don't, don't let that deter you, because it's not like you're drinking a peach milkshake or something. It's just fruity to me. It's like a fruity tea punch, but bubble tea has got milk in it, and then the little tapioca pearls, and it is so refreshing. And they have some alcoholic beverages there that are there as well that get a lot of good reviews, like the Tipsy Ducks in Love and things like that. So go buy there.
You can get the Tipsy Duck, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, and it is fabulous.
And they have the combo there, too, that has the soft drink. You get an egg roll, a pot sticker, and a pork bun. And then the soft drink for, I think, like $10.
And ice cream.
Featuring either the red bean or some kind of ginger, right? The strawberry and red bean ice cream. So there's lots of good things there.
What don't they have?
Hamburgers. Beef jerky. Yeah.
Oh, you had answers. Okay. okay, don't do the acrobats in China. This is a little daily show that's offered several times throughout the day. And it's not as impressive as what you think it would be. I mean, it's more than just cartwheels and, you know, somersaults. But
are they still there?
I believe they are.
Oh.
Maybe they're not.
I thought they left when they did the whole big shakeup of all the live entertainment. Yeah,
but I thought they brought in a different set.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. If they're not there anymore, then
don't do it.
If they are there, don't do it. But here's the worst part, in my opinion, is that for most of the performances, depending on what time of year you are there, and that's most of the year in Florida, you're going to bake in that sun. I think, was it with you, Derek, that we sat and watched it, and we were sopping wet by the end of it?
Dying. And the thing is, I actually enjoyed them, and so that's why we went back the second time, because I'm like, I kind of want to watch them again. And 5 minutes in, I was like, I cannot physically stand here anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, again, I don't want to, they have talent, I don't want to denigrate their skills and all that kind of thing, but it's definitely one of those things that it's not worth standing out in the middle of the 100 degree sun to watch.
And so, they like you to clap for them.
They do want you to clap a lot. So, you know, if you're really into that kind of thing, don't be such a cheapo and go watch Cirque du Soleil or something.
Yeah, they like throw like a ball in the air and they're like, hi-yah! Hi-yah! Yay! Yeah, about 2 minutes in, I'm done with all that.
Well, that's sad. But yeah, they're little orphan children, and you're not even going to stand there and watch their show? Gosh.
They're grown adults.
I know. They're like 14, which maybe in China is like, nice, you have to be married and have a child by now. I don't know.
But they have 10 years actually, of experience
they
under
want
their
you
belt.
Not to have children is that's the thing now.
That is true. Yeah. Anyway, okay, my answer for skip this is something is a place I've never been, but judging by the menu and judging by the fact that Joy of Tea has so much to offer, I would say don't waste your table service credits on Nine Dragons, because the menu is very, you know, your local China King, where you get you get like 8 crab rangoon for $4.95 or whatever. It feels very much like that, and I don't think you really need to try it here.
I hear you. And you're right about the quality of the Chinese food. But if you like that, it is not worse than that. And this is one, if you're on the dining plan, you can get a great value here, because this is one of the few places that typically features a meal for dinner that you can get with one dinner credit, in which you get an appetizer, a main course, and a dessert. And now there's like limited selections for it, but you know, used to with the old dining plan originally, you could get an appetizer and a dessert, and that's no longer the case. But this is one of those that still offers an option for table service where you can get, like, we got egg rolls, and then you get hot and sour. Oh, you get a soup too. So we got hot and sour soup, and then we split like sesame chicken, and then one of my life's favorite desserts, and it was good. I liked it too. I'm just not a big banana fan as she is, but there's a banana cheesecake egg roll, and it was delicious. So if you're on the dining plan, and I mean, I hear what you're saying, it is like mall quality Chinese food. It's nothing special, but if that's your thing and you want a good bang for your buck on your meal plan, then it's not bad.
Yeah, the problem is you're hungry an hour later though.
You could take it in your little to-go box and eat it during illumination. Cold.
Mm. That's how I like my Chinese food. Cold the next day.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Sick. Mm. All right, Matt. So what is your skip then?
Don't do the quick service in Mexico, the outdoor one, the Cantina de San Angel. Don't get me wrong. The food's pretty decent. Like I said before on the show, it's fresh Mex kind of food, chicken tacos and fish tacos and things like that. Very, you know, avocado, lettucey, whatever, but it's just not, it's not good for the money. There's, with all the other wonderful options you have, even in China with the combo I mentioned or the Kringla Bakery Og sandwiches for lunch, this is just, it's just a waste, I think, to get some little measly tacos and whatever.
Maybe we shouldn't have done this episode so soon after our quick service of Epcot, because we're really reinforcing how we feel about those restaurants, but that's all right.
Well, that's, people need to know. People got to know for their trips, because they're counting on us to give them the scoop.
It's true. And if there's anything that's overwhelming, it's the list of restaurants at Epcot. So
yeah,
okay.
Truth.
Well, let's move on to our next section, which we've blocked off: Germany, Italy, America, and Japan. I can go first for this one. My must-do for this section of countries is something I've talked about a billion times, but it's Voices of Liberty. It's one of those live entertainment things that maybe you've deemed in your mind, we're not going to do any of the live entertainment. Let's just do the attractions. Let's just do the shows. Let's just do the restaurants. Voices of Liberty are worth watching. Now, if you're doing American Adventure, it's almost like you might as well watch them because they're the pre-show. Like, you're already going to be in the air conditioning. But they're fantastic. They're a wonderful little chorale of singers.
Ensemble.
Ensemble. That's a better word. Thank you. And I never get tired of hearing them. So don't miss them.
They're real, real good.
Except when they sing Frozen and other contemporary songs.
I don't like it when they sing. I don't like it that they sing without music. They don't sing no instruments. I'm just picking. That's their whole thing. And they're wonderful at it. I want to go off the beaten path with my do this, because there's a big, glaring, obvious one here. I guess I'll be nice and let Jeremy have it. I don't know if he was going there or not.
But I don't think I'm going there, but okay.
I'm going to say Biergarten in Germany. Yeah, and this is table service in the German area. And it's in the very back of the pavilion under the clock. I mean, it's inside. And very much like the Mexico pavilion, with obviously a different theme. You walk through the doors, and it's like you're outside at night in a quaint little German town's courtyard. And there's a water wheel, and there's, you know, all these facades of buildings around you. There's the moon shining, there's trees, there's water flowing. And then in the middle, there's this big stage where there's live music, you know, and polka music. And they come off and on, do a show every 20 minutes or so. And they're fabulous entertainers, accordions and tubas and all this stuff. And they get down on the floor. There's a dance floor. You can come down there and dance with your kids or whatever. They do a little handbell show. They have the big Ricola horns, whatever you call those things. And they play those. And then they I guess I'm missing the biggest part of this, and that's that it is a all-you-can-eat German buffet. Now, you have to do this buffet right in order to enjoy it. Okay, there are things to get and things not to get. I personally would bypass all the sausages. You can get all the sausages you want outside in the Summerfest quick service. I'd go for the pork schnitzel, the beef with the red wine sauce, and they have some wonderful potato dumplings and the best macaroni and cheese anywhere. I don't know what it's like butter and just like butter and cheese smeared on top of it. And it's
delicious. Do you think it's the noodle gratin that they sell at Summerfest?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I never put that together.
I mean, it's about the same thing. It's just like macaroni and cheese. I mean, that's what they called it in the restaurant, so maybe it's different. I don't know.
Don't forget the pretzel bread. That stuff is good.
Yes. Yeah, the key here, though, listen, the key here is the condiments. You get some of the good mustard, and the best thing ever is the curry ketchup. I mean, I put that crap on everything that I got, even the dessert. And no, I'm just taking not the dessert. It was delicious. I mean, with that pork, everything, that curry ketchup, just, I'm dreaming about it right now. I might have to make a trip up there soon.
I loved all the cold salads as well, like the broccoli salad and the potato salad.
Oh, yeah, don't forget that. They have a herring salad, which sounds disgusting, but it's pretty tasty. The desserts are forgettable for some reason. You wouldn't think so. And maybe for some people they're not forgettable, but I don't remember them really. But this is a great place. Now, it's going to be $36 to $40 a pop. But you get entertainment, wonderful atmosphere, and delicious food.
Hey, the best value for this restaurant is do it for Candlelight Processional Dining Package. Because it's one of the lower-tiered restaurants, and doesn't cost much more than the average buffet, and then you get the priority seating for Candlelight. That's what I did last year before. Totally worth it.
Wow.
That's
a good tip.
It was literally like $6 more was all it was, and then we got the priority seating for Candlelight. So
people do it for lunch too, and they also enjoy it. It's a little cheaper. There might be a few less things on the buffet. I'm not quite sure, but it's got good reviews for lunch too.
Yeah, I think now as you say that, we did the lunch and for the Candlelight, so...
And don't let the seating turn you off. It's one of those places with the long tables where you're going to be guaranteed to sit at a table with another party. And yeah. I thought that was really strange, especially when we first sat down. But it ended up being totally fine. It didn't take away from the experience at all.
No, it was awkward for me the last time I was there, but I got through it because we were a party of five. So four sat at the table, and then the other four, you know, and we were seated with a party of three. So I was at the, even though it's two tables together, it's still two tables. And so I was with the three, and they were all together by themselves. And
oh, yeah.
That sucks a lot. And I'd be like, can I just pull up a chair to the end of their table?
You know, I'm trying to, like, make conversation, but...
I wonder if there are any tables where you could request not to sit with people. For some reason, I remember them asking, you know, they tell you it's whatever, this all-together seating, is that okay? Which makes me think maybe if you said no, they would...
Be like, I got help you fleas. Out. I got Tourette's. Yeah, I got and the I'll ringworm. I got ringworm. I'll be... infecting everybody, so we need our own table.
Can we sit at our own table? Nine! That's what they would say.
My must-do is Matt left the American Adventure there, but I'm not going to go there, even though that is worth doing. I'm going to say my original answer was you have to do the shops in Germany. I think Germany has the best shops in all of World Showcase. I mean, I love all the shops, don't get me wrong. Most of them, because my don't do is coming up soon. But and it's a shop. But the toy store and the Christmas store, especially there in Germany, and the Werther's caramel store, those are fun just to like pop in. And I think they're so well themed and so they sell such fun stuff that you can't help but just enjoy yourself in them.
I totally agree. Yeah.
But yeah, you really need to do American Adventure.
Wait, we're coming back at the end to do one big thing.
Okay. Well, okay.
Well, I think that one was just so obvious that nobody wanted to touch it.
Okay. Well, what are the things that you said skip?
Absolutely skip the dang perfume shop in Italy. Every time I go in there, I leave with a headache. And I'm going to say the same thing about the one in France. It's like walking into a famous bar and, you know, they got that perfume counter. Is that famous bar still around or is it Dillard's? Whatever that department store used to be where they had the perfume counter in the center. And as soon as you walk in, you just – it's like Subway. You automatically smell like it. And you leave and people are like, where you been? The French whorehouse? And it's just from the fragrances. It gives you a migraine. Don't step in there. First off, it's all overpriced. You ain't gonna buy anything anyways. And second, like I said, it's the only thing worth looking at in there is there are very attractive cast members. So if you are into some eye candy, then go on in Italy and Norway. And France too, now that I think about it. But other than that, stay away.
Okay, I actually said Italy. Period.
Oh.
Y'all, Italy's lame.
I almost said the same thing.
Italy is so lame. Like, the architecture. The architecture. I get that it's Italy, but it's boring. That statue. The live entertainment now are those... I watched the video on YouTube. It's like those flag wavers. It's like a 15-minute show of them just twirling flags like your high school marching band flag people. It's so lame.
They're called Color Guard, and they have feelings.
That's it. I mean, I would rather watch it at high school because it's my friends, and they're not professionals. So it's like, wow, look at what they can do. But it's just
lame. I never said that once about anybody in Color Guard.
I didn't either, but I didn't want to offend.
Even if they are my friends.
I mean, listen, I would not be caught dead being friends with someone in the Color Guard. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Anyway,
probably the most offensive thing we've said on this whole show.
Yeah.
No, I love the Color Guard. I mean, there's a restaurant that I'll swing back around at the end that I think is worth trying. But other than that, Italy's just, I mean, it's not even worth it.
I like the statue of, what is that, St. George out there with the dragon?
But why?
I don't know. I just like it. It's nice. Sue me.
My don't do is, man, this is hard. Not that there's lots that stinks. It's just picking something to say this is going to be my one don't do. I want to say the stupid drum people in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you talked about them.
My mom was one of those women that just kind of always wanted to stop and watch like every show there was. So she would have watched the flag people. She also wanted to stop and watch the drum people. And it's like the acrobats in China. It's like they, you know, I know they're skilled and it takes a lot of endurance and strength to do what they do with the drums for like 20 minutes straight. And you know, it's culture and it's tradition. I understand all that. You know, watch it for a second. That's really all you need. I mean, it's going to be the same thing. You
that's
know,
the
there's
thing.
Not a,
it's,
there's not a whole lot of different tunes.
That's the thing that drives me nuts. It's literally the same beat the whole time, and I'm like,
our next song is "Pretty Flower in Tree."
Boom, 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 boom.
Pretty Flower in Tree sounds a lot. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom. That sounds the same as Yellow Dog in Creek. That's their number one hit, Yellow Dog in Creek.
Well, you know, and then you're sitting there watching it, and you're like, you know, I don't have much rhythm, but I think I could do this. Like, why am I not hired to bang the drum in Epcot?
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta have the thing. All you gotta do is get one of those things to wrap around your head and...
Yeah, the little bandana thing and...
And, you know, be Japanese.
Halfway through the show, it's like you're getting, you know, this is like the finale, and they bring out some cymbals.
So then,
yeah, it,
bum 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 bum, shh, bum 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 bum,
and you can hear it all over World Showcase too.
Yes, you'll be in Canada, and it'll start, and somebody goes, "Is it thundering? Like, what's going on?"
You wonder if the Japanese people that are visiting are like, seriously, this is how they represent our culture.
Probably so, because Japanese is like way more advanced than any other nation in the world, and they're like, seriously, they think all we can do is play a drum.
Yeah, so primitive. Like,
dun, 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 dun. We gave you people Pokemon, and this is what you think of when you think of us?
Yeah, but you know the guy with the cymbals, like, everybody wants that job, and he's all cocky back in the dressing room or whatever. He's like, I'm going to come out and play that cymbal. Anyway.
I like how you channeled him there. That was really nice.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next block of nations, which are Morocco, France, UK, and wrapping it up, Canada. Matt, you start.
It's really hard for me not to pick a food category in all these countries, but I'll abstain in this instance. And I'll say that if you're going to do something here, check out the... I don't even know what it's called. It's that the wonderful little overlooked Moroccan History Museum there.
What?
In Morocco. It's neat. Go check it out. Go sit there for a while.
How do you define neat? Because I think our definitions are very different.
No, I get what you're saying, Matt, because if you're there, it's a nice little off the beaten path. Yeah.
It's like, hey, there's a thing in here. It's cool and nobody's here.
And you kind of feel like it's that feeling you're not supposed to be there. It's
either that or I pick another food option. And I feel like we're all full by now if we're traveling through Epcot. So I'm going to avoid the obvious food draws that exist and go for that.
Wow. No, that was my list. That was my first one on the don't do.
Oh. That's ridiculous. I would just say, I'd just say the ins and outs of the Moroccan pavilion. As a whole, the bazaar, the streets, including the underwhelming history museum.
Okay, I'll agree with that because Morocco is a really beautiful country.
My must do is exploring the UK pavilion, but specifically meeting Alice, Mary Poppins, and or Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, because these characters are uniquely British and it's just fun to meet them in their native land, if you would. Specifically Alice, because as I've mentioned before, I have this weird thing for Wonderland. And she meets right outside the little tea shop there, which I adore. Like, I would work in that tea shop for free if they allowed me to. They keep asking me to leave. But I just love the UK Pavilion as a whole. So take a little time to explore the UK Pavilion. It's really nice too. It has that unique feature that it's often seen in Walt Disney World, but not often seen. And that is, you get not too far back there, maybe just 30 feet back into that courtyard, and you are isolated from the rest of the park. And it's kind of quiet and peaceful. And there's a little maze area for some children to burn some energy sometimes, and that's fine. But I like that, how you can just not go that far and feel like you're worlds away from the hustle and bustle of the main path. So UK Pavilion is worth just taking a breath in.
Even now that the World Showcase players are gone, huh?
Yeah, yeah, that was a big loss, but it's still very, very enjoyable. Just a lot of different architecture. And if you're an Anglophile, kind of like I am, you know, you can go in the shops too, and they have a lot of Beatles stuff, and if you like soccer, you know, British soccer, it's all there, and Doctor Who, so yeah. It's wonderful.
The Anglophile who calls it soccer.
football. And, well, I'm speaking to an American audience. And also the other shop, at least they used to have a lot of, like, Queen-related stuff, which I loved, especially around the Jubilee back when that happened. So, anywho.
I know thousands of young American men who gave their lives so I didn't have to care about the Queen.
You knew them, really? Okay.
I did. I know of them. I pray for them.
Well, my favorite show in all of World Showcase is in Canada, so that's my do this, and it is O Canada, starring Martin Short. I was shocked how much I enjoyed this film when I saw it, and I was shocked at how beautiful Canada is, because, you know, you think, like, okay, I kind of know what Canada's like, but, and sure, they pick all the most gorgeous spots that they could possibly find in the second biggest country in the world, but still, like, really cool shots, lots of good comedy. It's like, what, 5 minutes long? Wonderful song.
That's it. I'm just going to say that back portion of Canada that you have to go through to get to,
yes.
Oh, Canada, where the big waterfall is. That's wonderful. You got to go up and around, and it's gorgeous.
It is worth taking the time to do.
My favorite part of the Oh Canada film is this. I mean, I love the whole thing, but the song at the end as well. Canada... My Canada.
Love it.
And I just love that it's sung by the winner of Canadian Idol. Who knew that existed? And it did, and they got her to sing it. I just think that's fabulous. So
Eva Avila.
I like the old one, as I said before many times.
Well, as a duet, right?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it comes up on Disney Radio a lot, station I listen to sometimes.
It's 10 times cheesier.
Yeah.
So 80s, but it's gloriously 80s. Okay, so don't do in this section. It's hard to pick a don't do in this section because everything is so wonderful in this side.
I already gave mine. It's the Gallery of Arts and History in Morocco.
It's a good place. You get your baklava, your pastry, your whatever from the Tangerine Cafe, and go in there and sit and tell me it's not delightful.
Okay.
And enjoy it away from everyone. I'm going to say, good grief.
I'm going to give mine what you're thinking. I've never been here, but I have heard nothing but unflattering things about this restaurant, and I never see it full. I always see it with barely a couple of tables filled, and that is the Spice Road right there in Morocco, right on the waterfront.
Oh, I've heard good things about it.
Oh, no. Every review I've heard says it's bland, overpriced, and not worth the money
or
effort.
I could certainly see overpriced because it's, you know, it's tapas, and you're paying probably 10 bucks for every little plate.
Yeah, and even though it's right there on the water, which you would think is a good spot for illuminations, but again, every time I walk by it, doesn't matter if it's lunch, dinner, or almost illuminations time, I feel like empty. Like two or three tables filled is all, and the rest are just empty. So I don't think it's doing well.
I'm going to land on one now that we're on the subject of food, and that's going to be Le Chef de France. Don't eat there. Anything very special. You know, we think French food. I mean, you could go for escargot and things like that, but I don't even remember what I ordered. Some sort of stew. Pot-a-faux, I guess that's how you would say it. It's like beef stew. My friend Jamie ordered roast chicken and potatoes. And, I mean, it was good roast chicken and roast potatoes, but at the end of the day, it was roasted chicken and roasted potatoes, which is Jamie to a T, but it was still just like, eh. Menu wasn't very what you would consider French bistro dining. And it kind of had that feel that I'm beginning to hate in table service restaurants of being very bare, no tablecloths, tile floors, very noisy, chattery, like a dining hall somewhere. It didn't feel very nice. Now, they do have the two-pointer in France, Monsieur Paul, which I've never tried before.
That's the one I was thinking that's, like, outrageously expensive.
Which one is upstairs and which one's downstairs?
Monsieur Paul is upstairs.
Oh, okay.
The Chef de France is the one you see when you're walking down the promenade. It's like the big
you know, glass courtyard looking thing. Yeah. And you which can see inside and see everybody.
Which one brings out Remy on the little tray?
It used to be Le Chef de France, but not anymore.
Oh, well, that's
that was like very limited time.
But I always wanted to eat at the one upstairs, simply because I think it would be a good view of Epcot from up there from the windows.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay, so that's all the countries. Now, is there one do this and one not that of all of World Showcase that you want to throw in before we quit?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with... I do, too. Let's start with do this.
I'm going to say... what's it called? It's the big department store in Japan. On the lower level. It's a famous department store in Japan itself.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mitsukoshi. That's it. Mitsukoshi.
Yeah, I love that store.
Yeah, it's like the Belk of Japan. I don't know, maybe. It's just a fun... It's such a Japanese store, and I do not mean that in a demeaning way. You go in there, and it is everything from, like... I mean, they literally have a bar with like water in it and oysters, and you can pick one out and they'll get the pearl out of it for you. Just elaborate, very dramatic Japanese style shopping. But the best part is in the back of the store. If you enter it from the front and travel to the back, the best part is back there where they have all these Japanese snacks and candies and drinks. And if you get the right thing, they're in a little box, little elongated box, and they are rice. It's some kind of like rice pastry bun thing. It's kind of gummy, starchy, and inside is red bean filling, and it is delicious. And they have all kinds of good drinks back there too. But they have a little tea section, they have an incense section. That whole store is just fun to walk through and see all the different things. So I would go there. Make sure you walk through that.
I'm going to say one that I'm looking forward to maybe most of all things coming up on my trip, and that is the ice cream shop that I'm not going to try to pronounce that's in France, because I just discovered this new thing that I've heard several people say that this is the best ice cream in all of Walt Disney World at this French ice cream shop. But I discovered when we were talking about the quick service restaurants, the Croque Glacé, I think. And it is the scoop of ice cream in a warm brioche bun. And then it's like pressed in almost like a panera or a panini press. And then drizzled with syrup. You guys, I cannot wait. It looks amazing.
That sounds good.
Anyway. And they have lots of different flavors of ice cream as well.
My overall must-do for Epcot World Showcase is a limited thing. And that is... if you're there during the Christmas season, you must do the holidays around the world. Nothing brings me greater joy around the Christmas season than traveling around the World Showcase and listening to the different storytellers in each country talk about the Christmas and New Year's celebrations in their homelands. And it is just wonderful. And it makes me so happy.
Nice. I still want to do that. Yeah. Ever since you first talked about it. Okay, well, I hate to end it on a sad note, but let's finish up with one more not that that you can skip.
I have one big do that at the end that we can end it
on. Oh, good, good, good. Okay. Well, then I'll start with a not that. We've talked about it before, Agent P's World Showcase Adventure.
That was mine.
It's not worth it, you guys. Maybe kids would enjoy it. At least they did change one thing. I saw that now you can use your own smartphone instead of getting the 90s. Flip phones. Well, I guess 2000s flip phones. You can use your own smartphone, so maybe it's better, but it was just a lot of standing around and watching clips of Phineas and Ferb.
Yep.
Did not
definitely lose interest very quick.
For sure.
I'd say don't do a whole section, and that is the African outpost. Just do not stop. Do not even look at it. Don't. If you just walk right past it, you don't follow the sound of the drums, you know, don't give in to the need for a random hot dog or Coca-Cola in the middle of World Showcase. Just keep on trucking. Just don't even pretend it's not there.
If you got a hankering for Africa, just go on over to Animal Kingdom. Yeah, mine was Master P as well, or whatever that was.
Master P. Okay, so one big do this that I think we can all agree on, maybe. Some of y'all are weird sometimes, and that is Illumination's Reflections of Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You must
see Illumination's Reflections of Earth. And, you know, your park time doesn't matter because it starts at closing time. So you're not going to have to sacrifice something to see this, unless you got a reservation really late or a fast pass started at like 8:50 or something, which would make you stupid to do that kind of thing. So go see Illuminations, Reflections of Earth, all around World Showcase. It's magical. World Showcase at night is like, do this. And really, all of Epcot itself can be boiled down into one big do this and not that. And that is World Showcase, do that. Future World, don't do that.
I would kind of agree with that.
Yeah. If you're pressed for time, enjoy World Showcase.
Absolutely.
All right, well, that does it for another episode and another round of Do This, Not That. Next time, we'll be hitting up Blizzard Beach. Do this. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do it. But thank you so much for listening. You can always find us online. You can find us on Twitter at Mad Chatters. You can always email us at comments@madchatters.net. Thank you so much for the recent reviews we've gotten on iTunes. We ask that you keep those coming to help out the show. And we'll see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Bye-bye now.